Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, hey, we are in the middle of this series again, and we're kind of talking about blessing our homes. This is a fun one. And again, if you remember last week, and so I forgot to announce in the announcements, we're talking about how God's blessing our church as well. And it's continuing to do so. If you checked out our kids' space, again, it is even more full than what was last week. So next week, we are tearing down the wall in our pre-K, and it's going to go into another kind of adjoining room, so that room will be even bigger so we can accommodate more and more kids, and we're going to divide the ages up a little bit differently, so it'll be a little bit more age-appropriate as well. So next Sunday, that's the 16th, make sure you mark that on your calendars. If you have a reciprocating saw, bring it, because we're going to use it. We're going to cut down some walls. We're going to break down walls, right? I feel like Ronald Reagan when I'm going to say, tear down that wall. But that's what we're going to do next week. And this is going to be an incredible opportunity. And I would say this for kids ministry. I want to thank all those who work in kids ministry. It's incredible the foundation that you guys are really laying in these kids' lives. Like, there's things that they're going to remember when they're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And it's just because of you. It's because you're willing to pour into them. And if you're not jumping in there, feel free. And you have an interest, man, we would love to get you connected in. We can get you a background check and get you plugged in so that you can pour into these kids' lives as well. But we are talking about blessing our homes. And what we're doing is we're looking at a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5. And it's a portion of Scripture that really is an intro to Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And the intro is known as the Beatitudes. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus really gives us 8 different directions for how we can become blessed. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. And again, if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a resource that you can put on your phone. It's a resource that you can put on your tablet. There's reading plans there. It's an incredible resource. It even reminds you to read your Bible daily. Like, talk about some accountability, right? But it's a great tool to have. So I want to challenge you to download that. And what we're doing is we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 11, throughout this whole series. And this is kind of like the main passage, kind of the memory verse, if you will. So I would challenge you to write all of this down, commit this to memory, and then live this out. But it says this here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here's Jesus, and really he's talking to everybody. But what we're doing is we're applying these Beatitudes, we're applying these principles to our homes and to our families. And again, if you remember the first week, we really dug into the principle and the Beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then last week we jumped in and we looked at the powerful words that Jesus said. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." 2 incredible principles that we had, and I would challenge you to go back and even listen to those if you haven't listened to them. If you missed the last few weeks, you can check those out at our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. And then next week, we're going to jump in, and we're going to talk about being blessed and persecution. And then even, we're going to come back to the series, because you're looking at, like, this is only 4 weeks, right? But it goes 8 weeks long. There's 8 of those. So we're going to come back next year and even talk about our families again. But blessed are those, right? These are the Beatitudes that God is calling us to. This is the things that he wants us to live by. And today we're going to specifically look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. In fact, if you get nothing else, walk away with this verse. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I believe that God has a better way for us. I believe he wants our homes, he wants our families to be characterized by peace. But if you think about it, if we're really honest with ourselves, many of us probably wouldn't characterize our homes as peaceful, right? Many of us probably wouldn't characterize our families as peaceful. Like, peaceful is not the word we would describe for our ride to church today, right? I don't know if you're anything like me. Last night we were actually driving around and like, our kids are crazy. Like, sometimes I lean back and I'm just like swinging just to try it. I'm missing them completely. But peaceful is not the word to describe a ride with two kids under the age of six, right? I think that's where many of us fall into, right? Peaceful is not the word to describe your routine getting up every single morning, especially if you have a person in your house that's not a morning person, right? I think instead we look at our lives, and what are they characterized as? They're characterized by conflict. They're characterized by tension. They're characterized by strife. Some of you guys are like, dude, he's reading my mail. Like, was he in the back seat? I didn't even know he's in the back seat of my car today. And you're thinking like, listen, it's true. My house isn't peaceful, but the truth is it's not my fault, right? I got a crazy family member in my house. Like, you don't understand. No, I do understand, because the truth is every single one of us has that person in our family. I mean, I can just prove it for you. I'm going to just do this right here. If you have somebody in your family that's crazy, raise your hand, right? And this includes in-laws. Like, everybody's hands should be up when you include the in-laws, right? And listen, if you aren't going to raise your hand, it's probably because you're the crazy one. I'm telling you. But if you think about it, everybody, they have that one person in their families that's challenging, that causes some things to be a little bit more stressful. Takes that whole idea of peace out of our family. And it just gives us some difficulties in our relationships. And really, we slip into this dysfunctional cycle in our lives. It's amazing how fast we can kind of slip into that function, how we can slip into these cycles of dysfunction in our lives. I look at my kids again. They're 3 and 5. And I look at them, and they're already falling into this category of working some cycles of dysfunction. Like, it's an easy trap for them to fall into. And they really just like to kind of annoy each other, especially my son, Griffin. See, my 5-year-old is my daughter. She's a little on the OCD side. Like, she likes to organize things. She colors within the lines. But my son, now he's my 3-year-old, he like will not color inside the lines whatsoever. He likes to think outside the box. He likes to mess things up. Even if we clean his room, he'll go back into it like, I don't like this. He'll start messing things up because he just lives in that zone a little bit better. That's his comfort zone. So Berkeley will go play with her toys, and usually she tries to play by herself because Griffin's super annoying to her. So she'll go play in her room with her toys. She'll have her Barbies lined up exactly by some certain order that's in her head and makes sense. And then what he'll do? He'll come in there, and he'll just start messing things up because he thinks it's so funny. So he'll do that. And then Berkeley's also a little on the bossy side. So next thing you know, she's yelling at him. She's like, she gets to the point where she's screaming at him. It really hurts his feelings because he is somewhat sensitive. So he starts crying, and then he goes away, and then like goes to his room. And then next thing you know, 2 minutes later, what's he doing? He's back in the room messing all the Barbie dolls up, messing everything she was playing up with. That took that 2 minutes for her to reorganize, and he does it again. And he goes back, and he continues this cycle until finally, as parents, we're like, all right, fine, I'll have to get into this one again. You know, as a parent, every 15 minutes, you just have to yell, knock it off, depending on what it doesn't really matter, just yell it. Knock it off! But that's what we do, so. And this, they get into this cycle, and they never really address the issue. I think too many times in our lives, we do the same thing, right? We get into these cycles, and we really brings us this lack of peace in our lives, but we're never really addressing the issue. And our lives, they're not characterized by peace because we keep going back to that same thing, that same habit, that same mindset. And we never really address the issue. In fact, that might be where you even find yourself today. Maybe you're here, and maybe you have some difficult relationships, right? Maybe you've got some challenging relationships inside your home, right? Maybe you're trying to raise your kids and you have parents that keep looking over your shoulders telling you exactly how to do it, and you're thinking like, just chill out, get off my back. But instead of addressing it, you let that tension build and build and build. Maybe it's with your own kids. Maybe they're fighting all the time, right? They're going back and forth. Instead of dealing with it, you just find yourself saying things you would never say. You find yourself blowing up out of them. Maybe you even find yourself just wanting to give up and say, you know what, I'm done. Just fight until somebody knocks someone out, and then we'll be quiet, right? Maybe you find yourself there. Again, I have a 3- and 5-year-old, so I understand. I find myself to that point sometimes. I'm in this with you. Maybe you're a student today and you're thinking, you're a teenager, you're a student, you're thinking like, ooh, my parents just get off my back, right? They're always breathing down my neck. They're so controlling. And you're just frustrated. And you let that tension build up and build up and build up because you feel like you can't do anything about it. You never really address the issue. Some of you might be at a place today where you're holding this unforgiveness, right? Maybe something happened with your mom or dad years and years ago, and you're never making these steps to build it and to really get to the point of forgiveness. So the tension builds up and up and up. So you have this lack of peace. Maybe you've even been holding a grudge against your spouse for something they did years ago, and you just won't let it go. And it leads to this crazy dysfunction in our lives. I think if we're honest with ourselves, many of us, we live without peace because of something we fail to address in our lives. Let's go back to our verse again. It says this. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And notice this. Jesus said peacemakers. He didn't say peacekeepers, but he said peacemakers. And there's a huge difference between the two of them. See, the truth is, it's easy just to be a peacekeeper. In fact, many of us, we've probably got to the point where we're even good at becoming peacekeepers. We're good at keeping the peace. But Jesus calls us to be a peacemaker. So let's look at the difference. What a peacekeeper is. A peacekeeper is one that often avoids conflict to keep the peace. They'll just brush it under the rug, right? They'll kind of move away from it, trying to change the focus. They'll avoid conflict to keep the peace. And a peacekeeper will work around the issues and not through the issues. If you think about it, a peacekeeper really loves a truce. They really like just to throw the white flag up, say, I surrender, here it is, we're just gonna stay right here at this standstill. We're going to avoid this issue altogether, and we're just going to move on and just ignore it, right? We're really good at just sweeping stuff under the rug. If you're a peacekeeper, you may say something like, you know what, let's just hope this all settles down. And then really what we're doing in the back of our mind, we're hoping that somebody is going to forget about it. And then it will just remain somewhat peaceful. A peacekeeper is great at putting a smile on while there's tension in the background. A peacekeeper says, let's just be happy, right? All the meantime, they're putting this giant front on. They're faking it till they hope they can make it. But what happens? Some time goes by, and then something happens, and it can shake the whole world. Right? It can shake the whole false perspective of peace. Because a peacekeeper really leaves a lot of unresolved issues along the way. And this is why Jesus said, Blessed are the peacemakers. Let's look at what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker will embrace conflict to keep the peace. They'll embrace the conflict. They'll face it head on. A peacemaker is not just going to work around the issues, but they're going to work on and through the issues. And listen, this is tough. This is one of the toughest things to do is to face conflict head on, especially if you're not good at conflict. Like, I'm going to be honest, like, I am terrible at conflict. The only thing I have going on is that the fact that I usually try to face it head on. I face it head on the wrong way every single time, but I at least try to face it head on, right? And this is why, like, so many times we're bad at this, but what the truth is, we need Jesus in the middle of our conflict. We need the Prince of Peace in the middle of our conflict. He's the only one that can make us a peacemaker. And again, this is why the main idea for this whole series is this, is that we're not just called to be a Christian family, we're called to be a Christ-centered home. When Christ is the center of our life, he can help us to become a peacemaker. Not just a part of our life, but the truth is, he has to be our life. We have to be completely devoted to him. We have to follow him. We have to serve him. We have to know him, really do everything we can to bring him glory. Put him at the center of our life. And that's how we become a true peacemaker. To embrace conflict, Jesus has to be the center. To work on and through conflict, Jesus has to be the center. And when he's the center, it leads us to becoming peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. For they will be called children of God. I love the second part of that verse. That's really the blessing beyond the blessing, right? It's really the good news. It's really the gospel. It's really the reason for Jesus in the first place. Here's Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become children of God. And we become a peacemaker by putting Jesus at the center of our life. And when Jesus is at the center of our life, guess what? We become a child of God. Jesus came, died on a cross, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for us, for something that we could never do. We could never pay that penalty for all of our mistakes. And then he was risen again to give us a new life, to give us really an heir to the throne so that we could be called children of God, so that we could be called a child of a perfect parent, so that we could belong to a family, so that we could have a sense of belonging that goes beyond anything we could ever imagine, that goes beyond anything we even long for. We have purpose beyond anything because we can be called a child of God. We have rights to the greatest family. We have rights to the greatest parent head ever. We called a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And to do this, there's some action steps that we have to put in place. To become a peacemaker, there's some things that we need to do. So I want to spend some time really digging into how we can apply this to our lives and how we can really live this out. And number one is this. We need to tell the truth in love. Tell the truth in love. Peacemakers don't lie. But at the same time, peacemakers don't use the truth to hurt others. Peacemakers don't bash the truth over somebody's head just to make them feel bad about themselves. A lot of times the truth does hurt. If we're looking at it, it's like there's some things that are completely true that sting a bit, right? That's why the truth needs to be told in love. In Ephesians 4:15, it says this. It says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. When we speak the truth in love, we become more and more like Jesus. We become more and more Christ-centered. That's a part of being Christ-centered, is telling the truth in love. Again, if you look at it, it doesn't say yell the truth in love, right? It doesn't say bash somebody over the head. It doesn't say make somebody feel completely guilty because of the truth that you hold for them. But it says speak the truth in love. And for some of us, this is a huge challenge, right? For some of us, it's easier to be a little bit mean and kind of angry with the truth. But God's saying, tell the truth in love. And this is how we tell the truth in love. We tell the truth during non-conflict times. Tell the truth during non-conflict times. There's a time for everything in our lives. There's a time to work on important issues, and there's a time to not work on those. There's a time to set back and cool off, right? When you're seeing red and the other person's seeing red, it's probably not the best time to bring up all the truths that you know about them and all the areas that they need to work on. I'm just saying, it's probably not the greatest time. Like if somebody's hulking out, it's probably not the time that you're really going to resolve an important issue. The time is during non-conflict times. Telling in truth and love means that we need to calm down, means that we need to cool down, needs to collect really ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, and then tell the truth, not during times of conflict. The other way we tell truth in love is to attack the issue and never the person. Telling truth in love means we attack, we confront the issue and not the person. Instead of just flying off the handle and saying you're a jerk or whatever choice word that you want to use to your husband at that time, instead of doing that, really it's attacking the issue instead, right? It's saying, you know what? Like, listen, it's kind of messed up that you leave the seat up every single time. Don't just call him a jerk. Address the issue. Instead of yelling at your kids and calling them lazy bums, address the issue with them. Let them know that, you know what, you need to clean your house, you need to clean your room in a timely manner. Like, you need to clean your room more than just once a month. Attack the issue and never the person. To tell the truth in love means that we tell it during non-conflict times and we attack the issue, not the person. And this doesn't mean skirting around the issues, but it means addressing them with love. As Christ-centered people, that's what we're called to do. We need to understand that we love this person enough to not just work around the issues, but work through the issues. Let me just give you an example of what Sarah and I do, and I'm going to just tell you the truth. Here's a big disclaimer here. We do not do this well all the time. In fact, as I'm talking through this, usually what I preach on is what I like struggle with during the week, so it's great. I love it. So this week, our house was not necessarily the most peaceful. And we tried to do this, and it kind of backfired on me, usually because I was addressing an issue that I had with her, but it's usually the other way around. She addresses the issue with me, but for some weird instance, you know, it was a little bit different. But it was just a little bit of a rough week, but this is what we try to do, right? When we are trying to present the truth in love, we start off with this phrase. We say, you know what? I don't feel loved when, fill in the blank. Whatever it is, the issue that's going on, I don't feel loved when you do this, when you do that, when this happened, I didn't feel loved. And then usually I repeat the statement, because again, usually I'm the one who needs to hear the truth and love, and I'll repeat the statement, so I'll say, you know what? So what you're telling me is you don't feel loved when I do this or that or whatever. And then I continue, I say, if I did this, you would feel more loved. Usually that kind of diffuses the situation because we know what we're doing, so we're like, okay, big deal. You're telling the truth in love here. So, and then we can realize that, okay, somebody was hurt, somebody was offended, and we can kind of move forward from that. But what we're doing is we're confronting the issue, not the person. And I say that as an example. And again, don't hear me as like, this is what we do when we're perfect at it. No, we're not. Trust me, we are not perfect at it. We're still working through things. But we address the issue and not the person. And we do it in non-conflict times. To be a peacemaker, we need to tell the truth in love. And number two is we need to apologize when you're wrong. A peacemaker apologizes when they're wrong. Listen, in our house, we have one of those signs that says, in our home, we do I'm sorry's. I'm pretty sure it only is for me. I think Sarah put it up there specifically for me. But if you think about it, as a peacemaker, it's so important to do apologies. It's so important to be able to apologize when we do something wrong. In our homes, we need to learn the art of apologizing. We need to learn the art of confessing when we messed up. In James 5:16, it says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Think about that verse for a minute. That verse is so powerful in becoming a peacemaker. Confess. Admit. Right? This is part of an apology. Confess. Admit so that you may pray together so that what? So that you can be healed. What do you think your relationships would be like? What do you think your homes would be like? What do you think your families would be like if arguments ended with healing? Like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's next level blessing. And it really starts with apologizing when we're wrong. It starts by confessing that we did something right, right? I sinned against you. I did this wrong. Will you please forgive me? And then it's huge. The next step is praying together. When's the last time you prayed together after an argument? But this is next level stuff. Imagine how incredibly different our relationships would be if we owned our sins, if we confessed them, and then we prayed together. Peacemakers apologize when they're wrong. And again, here's how you apologize. Number one is you admit to specific actions without excuses. Admit to specific actions without excuses. It's when we say, here's what I did wrong, and I have no excuses. I'm sorry that I didn't consider you with this action, right? Be specific about it and say, you know what, I have no excuse. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. In an apology, there's no ifs, there's no ands, and there's no buts. Listen, a but will ruin an apology, and you can take that however you want. But admit to the specifics without excuses. And then number two is part of an apology. We have to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Say, please forgive me. And mean it. Don't just ask for forgiveness for being caught, but ask for forgiveness for the specific item. And then turn your remorse into repentance. Turn your remorse into repentance. An apology involves repentance. And repentance is this. It's turning away from an action. It's turning away from that sin. It's a full 180. It's a complete change in behavior. And it goes just beyond remorse. It goes so far beyond remorse. But I think so many times, I think we just stop at remorse. Remorse says, I'm sorry that we're going through this, right? Remorse says, I'm sorry that you got your feelings hurt. I'm sorry that you feel this way. But repentance says, I'm sorry, and this is what I'm going to do about it. That's what an apology is, right? And that leads to becoming a peacemaker. So we tell the truth in love, and we apologize when we're wrong. And then number three, we forgive and let go. Peacemakers forgive and let go. And this may be the toughest step to follow, right? I think this could be one of the things that's the most difficult for us. I think all of us, we really like to hold on to a grudge. We feel like it gives us that edge up. But what it's doing, it's destroying you. We have to forgive and let go. And I know a lot of you guys, you've probably suffered from tremendous pain. You're thinking, you have no clue the amount of betrayal that I've endured, right? You have no clue the amount of abuse that I've gone through. There's no humanly way possible that I can even forgive. Maybe your home life, maybe you have a spouse that's betrayed you. Maybe they've committed adultery. Maybe even multiple times, and you're thinking, like, how can I forgive them, right? Maybe you're from a home or family that somebody was supposed to support you. They were supposed to provide for you, and they just left you in a hard place. And you're thinking, like, how can I forgive them, right? Maybe you're here and you're from a home where somebody was supposed to protect you, but instead they took advantage of you and they abused you. And you're thinking, like, how in the world do I forgive? I don't even want to forgive, right? You're thinking there's no humanly way possible. And there might not be, but there's a spiritual way. It's not easy, but it's doable. And Christ has to be the center. Christ has to be the center of that, because the truth is, the only way we can forgive and let go is through the power of Jesus. And Paul writes and he tells us about this, and he talks about this in Colossians 3:13, where he says this. He says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." We're supposed to forgive as the Lord forgave us. So just think, is there anything that you've done against God? Is there anything that you've regretted? Is there any actions that you've done that would have hurt God's heart and He's already forgiven you of it? What are some things that God's forgiven you of? That's how you're supposed to forgive as well. When I ask myself that question, the answer is a resounding yes, right? There's things that God has forgiven me of. There's so many things that He's forgiven me of. There's so many things He's freed me of. And the truth is, I didn't deserve any of it. But that's how we're called to forgive. To freely forgive as we have been forgiven. That's what Christ-centered homes do. That's what peacemakers do. And that's what we as followers of Christ need to do in our homes and in our lives, and especially in our families. Because the truth is, family is worth forgiveness. Family is worth it. They're worth forgiveness. If we're followers of Christ, we forgive. In our marriages, we don't just give up when it gets tough. We have to forgive and let go. In our relationships with our kids that could be broken, could be destroyed, maybe they stole from us, maybe they did all these different things, we don't just write them off. We may instill some boundaries, we may instill some guidelines, but we forgive and we let go. When our in-laws are meddlesome, right? We don't just walk away, we forgive and let go. We don't cut family out. We don't walk away from family. We forgive as we have been forgiven, because family is worth it. Family is worth forgiveness. And family even goes beyond just blood. Family goes even into this church. As a church, we are called to be a church family together. And we need to be peacemakers in this place. We need to be peacemakers as a group of people. And we need to live this out so that we can truly experience the blessings of God, so that we can look and we can live like children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In our families and in our homes and in this church, we need to become peacemakers. So let's tell the truth in love. Let's apologize when we're wrong. And let's forgive and let go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You right now. God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for speaking to us. We thank You for challenging us. And we thank You for taking us to the next level. Not just being a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. So that we can be called children of God. So that we can experience an incredible blessing in our homes, in our family, in our churches, and in our lives, God. God, we ask that You help us. God, help us to live this out. Help us to tell the truth in love. God, we ask that You will be with us in every situation. Help us to, when we see red, when we're hulking out, God, help, don't let us to go try to bash somebody with the truth, but let us sit back and wait for the right time, God, to address that conflict. God, we ask that You put our pride aside in everything we do. And God, we ask that You help us to apologize when we're wrong. And God, give us the power to forgive and let go. That power that can only come from You. God, let Christ be the center of our lives, so that we can truly become a peacemaker. God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You're doing in each of our lives. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.